last chapter, and the people did that which was right in their own eyes. Period of Judges certainly was a time of spiritual confusion. It was a time of moral confusion. And yet, as you look at the period of Judges, you're reminded that some of the greatest miracles found in the Bible are found in the period of Judges. We think of the book of Judges, we think of chapter 4 and verse 15, we think of Deborah and Barak. And I think of a sister and his army of chariots and all the people that were with him. And think of the great miracle that took place in that time. The Bible tells us how the river of Kishon swept them away, chapter 5, verse 21. And how their chariots got stuck. And the great army became one of disarray. And they fled before, you might say, the measly Israelites. Then you think of Gideon in chapter 7. And you think of Gideon. And you think of the great army of the Midianites that were against them. And how the Midianites were a great army, a great number of people. And Israel, God called Gideon, and Gideon called Israel together. And he said, if you're faint-hearted, go home, you know. And then God says, well, there's still too many people in this army. And so it ended up with 300 soldiers, and they had swords and lamps. And, at the appointed time, Gideon and his soldiers surrounded the camp of the Midianites and cried out, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." And the Midianites, in their confusion, slew each other. And there's a great slaughter that night. And the Midianites were defeated. Then we think of Samson. The Bible tells us how Samson was used of the Lord as one of the judges. And how Samson, even with the jawbone of an ass, slew 1,000 men. Pretty modern technique, you know. You know, latest weapon by a great defense team. And a manufacturer. And, you think of the great deliverance that God gave to the people of Israel at different times. And certainly, these are great miracles. But let's put them put in their place. First of all, these miracles were were despite the low spirituality of the people and even the leaders. Great miracles in spite of the low spirituality of the people. Gideon, he has this great brings about this great victory. Thank the Lord he had the courage to burn down the altar of Baal. And he led the people. But what did he do? What did he do after he won the battle? He went and he made an ephod. He made an ephod. And the Bible tells us how, this is actually chapter 8, verse 27. Gideon made an ephod, put it in a city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Now they just had a great victory. But what's Gideon doing? Violating the second commandment. Making a private ephod. Setting up worship in his home, in his city, in violation of God's command for where the worship should be, how the worship should be, and actually leading the people away from the Lord. Great miracle, but low spirituality. You think of Samson. Man, I never caught one fox. Nonetheless, catch a bunch of them and tie their tails together and set a brand among them and burn a bunch of fields of the enemy. And think of it, surrounded by Philistines, and gets up and lifts up the gates of the city and walks off with them. But Samson was a man who spent a lot of time with harlots. Spent a lot of time with wicked women. And Delilah was finally his downfall. But he was the judge. But God, through him, did some great miracles. Great miracles, but low spirituality. I think of Barak. And the Lord tells Deborah, go tell Barak to lead the army. And Barak said, I'll do it if you'll hold my hand. Didn't quite say it that way. But he wasn't enough of a man to lead the army himself. Great miracles, but low spirituality. Somehow in our minds, they don't connect, do they? But you think of northern Israel. And you think of the great miracles that God did through Elijah and Elijah. It was a time of apostasy. It was a low ebb in the nation of Israel. But God did some great miracles. You know, you really think about the people of Israel in Egypt. Boy, they had gotten pretty carnal down there. It wasn't many days after they got out of Egypt, even after seeing all these miracles, that they brought their gold together and they had Aaron make a golden calf. And they were using all the things they learned in Egypt and nakedness and idolatry and dancing. Whew. A lot of miracles, but not very much spirituality. You know, sometimes we make a mistake in connecting the two in the wrong relationship. But in the book of Judges, great miracles, but low spirituality. We find great miracles, but it was the emphasis was it wasn't of men. Wasn't of men. You know, Samson's strength didn't have anything to do with his, didn't have anything to do with his spirituality. Samson's strength had to do with God. Samson's strength had to do with God's plan. Gideon, this man who showed his own spiritual weaknesses, what were the miracles all about? Big army? Great organization? A people strong in faith? No. It's miracles about God. God didn't do it. I mean, men didn't do it. God did it. As you think about even the leaders that were raised up, we see that the leaders in themselves were a miracle. The leaders really were raised up in a special sense by God. You know, they didn't come out of the school of prophets. They didn't come out of a people that were strong in faith. They didn't come out of a nation of strong families. They didn't come out of that type of situation. They themselves were really a mark that God did it. Judges chapter 3, I like that phrase there. Judges chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer." And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. As you look at the different leaders, again, you see a unique feature they were especially raised up for God for a unique situation, for unique leadership. And you really couldn't give them credit themselves. How could you give Samson credit? I mean, he wasn't really a whole lot to give credit to. It was the Lord. As we think of this time, we see certainly God was trying to show the people that it was Him that they needed. It was Him that they needed to turn to. That He was their only hope. It's interesting as you think about it. Certainly, as you put those things together, One of the things you have to be mindful of is the very mercy of God. The mercy of God. Time of low spirituality, a time of confusion and morality, a time of confusion and worship. And yet God, in His mercy, showed Himself great. God was certainly showing Himself mercifully. You know, I think that there are some opposites here that are important for us to think about. One of the opposites is, don't confuse, in lessons, don't confuse miracles with spirituality. Don't confuse miracles with spirituality. You know, people do that. They confuse miracles with spirituality. They confuse God doing something with even times the fallible men that are connected with it. This is how people think. People think, you know, Samson, he had a problem with women. He had a problem with harlots. He had a problem with disrespect of his parents. But you know, that's okay. Because God used him. Isn't that how people think today? Yeah, they make the same wrong connections. And remember, we are in likewise a day in which men do that which is right in their own eyes. And people make a great mistake whenever God does something that people make that as though that He is okaying even the errors of that person. Now, I think it's pretty long shot for somebody to say that, Samson was a little bit loose with women. But God used him, therefore, it's not a problem. You can be loose with women. And God doesn't look down upon it. And it'll be okay. Now, we probably wouldn't go quite that far, but I think there's some preachers out there that do. And there's some congregations that do, don't they? But would we say it was okay for Gideon to have an ephod, when only the high priest was supposed to have an ephod? And the high priest was supposed to minister in the tabernacle, not at Gideon's house. But you know, Gideon did it. And Gideon was successful. And Gideon led the people. Therefore, whatever Gideon did was okay. And people will say, well, that's not good thinking. But you know, it's amazing how many people say to me, you know, so-and-so does such-and-such. And what they mean by that, so-and-so is successful, or even God uses them, and therefore, whatever they do is right. Is Is that how you think, young person? Just so long as so-and-so does it, it's okay. And, you know, look at this. You know, what is American Christianity all about? Well, you know, look at the mega church. Look at what they're doing. Better read their books. You better find their methods. You better follow them because they're successful. Now, it's kind of along the same line. Just because God does something or God uses someone does not mean that He is endorsing how they live or what they do. How they live must be judged by the Bible. What they do, if it is right or wrong, must be judged by the Bible. Not by some result that comes along. And so when you say, period judges, man, a period of great miracles. Yes, it was. I mean, God did some great things. But wait a minute. It's the period in which man did that which is right in their own eyes. It's a period in which God is saying the general spiritual level of the people was and their worship was exhibited by Micah. And the moral level was exhibited by what happened with the Levite and his concubine and all that took place. And then we realize that even though God did some great things and there's some great miracles, God certainly was not condoning all that those men did, nor what the people did, nor how they lived, or what they did and so-called got away with. Put it in the context. So the question is, do you look at men or do you look at God? Do you look at men or do you look at the Bible? You know, it's pretty amazing what goes on today in the name of God. One of these so-called healers, he had, this was before, he was at the top edge of technology. This is a number of years ago. He had cordless microphone between him and his wife. And his wife would go through the congregation. They were having so-called healing meetings. And she would talk to different people and find out what their problem was and, you know, why they were there and different things. And then somewhere in the process, she would tell her husband about this person and all about them. And then if this person would come up to be healed or whatever, this person would pretend like he got a revelation from God so that he knew all about this person and knew all that their problems were and what their needs were. And, you know, I mean, the crowd was like, whoa, look at this. Man, isn't this something? And, oh, man, this guy, he's got a direct line with the Lord, you know. We had a direct line with his wife. But it came across as a direct line with the Lord. You know, and people just flocked to this. It's amazing how people don't look at the Bible. And how people, they judge something by, you know, some measure of success. You know, somehow, some measure of success. Rather than by going by what the Bible has to say. And I think the period of Judges is a great illustration of the grace of God. You know, someone has said it is a miracle what God can do when you look at what kind of material he has to work with. Us. It's a miracle. But let's not make the pragmatic deduction that because God in his grace and mercy uses someone, even right, even, you know, in a true sense, let's not make the deduction that the fallacies of their life are okay. The sins of their life can be overlooked. The law of God that is violated in their practice or their worship. Let's not make the deduction that God doesn't care or that it's not wrong. Let's not forget the mercy of God. Let's not forget the mercy of God. God was very merciful to his people in the period of Judges. God is very merciful today, isn't he? Oh, God is so merciful today. Let's not take the mercy of God and say, that gives us license to do what we want. Let's not take the mercy of God and say that changes God's view of sin. Let's not take God's mercy today and say, well, what's wrong isn't really wrong anymore. God's word doesn't really mean what it means. Let's not misinterpret the mercy of God. And then think about this. What could God do if he can do all of this in his mercy? What could he do and would he do if his people would obey him? What would he do and could he do if people would follow his word and seek to do his will? We think of that simple promise, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, the book of Judges really should be an encouragement to us that there is a God who is merciful. There is a God in heaven who hears the cry of his people when they are broken. And there is a God who is anxious to show himself that he is the living God in the times of darkness. And you know, I think that is so true. God is not only willing, is not only merciful today as much as he was in the Old Testament, but God is certainly just as willing and anxious to show that he is the living God. That he is alive. That he wants the nations to know that he is the Lord. I wonder, is that really our aim in life? That people might know that the God of heaven is real. That the God of heaven is alive. That the God of heaven is desirous to show that he is the living God. I don't know who I was talking to just as a concluding illustration, but you know, the gospel is really powerful. And it's really powerful in the life of a young person who's not ashamed of the gospel. Who's not ashamed of being different. Who's not ashamed of standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just heard about a Spanish fellow who recently got saved. Goes to public school. And he's got his Bible on top of his books. Going to the public school. Oh, I'm sure he's being mocked. I'm sure he's being ridiculed. But I think, oh, what a powerful testimony. A desire in a clean heart of someone to let the world know that there is a living God. You know, if the God of the heaven was living in the period of Judges, certainly he can be alive today. Amen? If the God of heaven could use such fallible leaders in that day, who in many cases were violating the Word of God, how much more isn't he willing to use his people if we will allow him to use us? God is always anxious to be merciful and to show himself that he is the living God. Is that really the goal of our life? To show the world that the living God of heaven hasn't changed. He loves righteousness. And he is alive today as he ever was. I trust that really encourages us to live for God in this dark day. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of being different. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. Our God is alive. And just the very smile on our face as we live for God is a testimony to a dark world of how real God is for our people who knows so little of them. Let's pray today as we close. Lord, we thank you simply tonight for the great testimony that you are a living God. And Lord, if you could do great things in a time of darkness, if you could do great things in a time of confusion, if you could do great things, Lord, in a time in which so few people were really living for you. Lord, certainly you're a God that can do great things today. And Lord, I pray that you will remind us that you are a merciful God and that you are a living God and that you desire to show yourself great among your people. Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn the lessons of the period of Judges. Help us, Lord, not to look at men and their sins and their fallacies and somehow use them as the role model of what's right and wrong. May we always look to you and to your word. And Lord, I pray even tonight that we would be a people who desire to show that the God of heaven is a living God. And that he is holy and he is righteous. We do not have to compromise your word to get your blessing or to see you work. But that you would prefer to work in the pathway that shows the greatest light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe even tonight, you've been following the errors of the period of Judges and looking to people for what is right and wrong rather than the Bible. You've forgotten the mercy of God, forgotten the grace of God. And as a person, you need to get back to the standard of the Bible and get off of comparing what persons do this and what persons do that. Especially, I know that's easy for young people to do. God has been speaking to your heart about that. That you're not going to go by what people do. You're going to go back and really go by God's word and not use God's grace and mercy as an excuse to do that which is wrong. And perhaps here tonight, the Lord is speaking to you about important decisions of letting your life shine. Show that the world there is a living God who does want to work through a holy people if we'll let him. To close the service, say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart tonight. There's an important decision that I need to make about following Jesus Christ wholeheartedly and unreservedly. About following him and making it the goal of my life to let the world know that there is a living God. And you say, God has spoken to my heart tonight. And there's a need in my life, a decision I need to make for Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to me about that tonight. Just lift your hand up and say wherever you are, God is speaking to my heart. Okay? Amen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Others? Amen. God is speaking to my heart. Okay? In this day of confusion, let's not look at men. Let's look at the Word of God. God is speaking to your heart. To look to Him. To follow Him. Okay? Praise the Lord for young people tonight as well. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of illumination, the God of revelation, the God of truth. And Lord, I pray that you would deal and bless and lead your people. We thank you that you lead us in the path of righteousness. And we pray that you would work in different hearts, even tonight, to take their eyes off of men and to be put them on the God of heaven and His word. And Lord, we do have a weakness in that. And so I pray that You would make this a solidifying time in the life of each of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.